Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget, when you get there, subscribe to my free newsletter. Thank you for all of you who have been doing that. We had a record, maybe not a record this last week, but it's pretty close to the record, subscribers, and many of you from those of you who are listening to the show. And we really appreciate that. Thanks for letting us know that you heard us, you heard about us on the show and on the radio or on the internet. We like either way, we like to hear about that. And thank you also, those of you who've written nice comments about the letter when you get it, and it means a lot to me, because as you know, I write that, and so getting feedback from you really means a lot to me, even when it's critical. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind it if you take me to task a little bit. That's actually kind of exciting. Mark Allen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mark is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a great supporter of all the things that we do here. He's been a good friend to me and a mentor in a number of ways. Mark is an entrepreneur extraordinaire. He's the founder of an outstanding publishing company called New World Library. He's the author of a number of books, including the new one, The Millionaire Course, and The 10% Solution, and one of my favorite, Visionary Business. Mark Allen, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks a lot. I enjoy your newsletter, too.
You do. Well, you say that you do, and it means a lot to me, because I know you're a busy guy, and when you read my newsletter, that means a lot to me, and I appreciate that. Mark, I am excited about the future of small business. Now, some people might be saying, well, you know, duh, that's news. You know, you've always been that way. But you know what, Mark? I'm getting more excited about the future and the importance and the validity and the significance of small business to the world, not just the marketplace, but to the world, every year. And I think 2004 is going to be a breakout year for small business. What do you think?
Well, it's sure true in my personal experience, which is all I know. I did pick up Wall Street Journal, which I rarely read. I guess you read it every day, huh?
Every day.
That's great. I picked up an older one because I was on an exercise bike and needed something to read. And two articles just blew me away. One, it did say self, and this is from December 1st, so it's been out 3 weeks, but self-employed boost the economic recovery. And it said startup companies are helping to drive the economic recovery. Self-employment has increased by 400,000 in the past year alone, at least that many.
Mm-hmm.
And they say proprietor's income, meaning just small proprietorships, was up 8.6% from a year earlier, where individuals on corporate payrolls were up just 2.3%.
Yep, I saw that article.
And the whole thing is the bottom line of the economy, he said, is becoming more entrepreneurial.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing is that about that report, Mark, is that 10 years ago, nobody would have written about that. It was no less true 10 years ago, because some pretty exciting things were happening in small business 10 years ago. But now we're starting. One of the reasons why I'm excited, and one of the reasons why I think the 21st century is going to continue to emerge as the century of the entrepreneur, is because we're popping up on the radar screens more, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they went on about the difficulty in tracking it because it's so vast.
We're a herd of cats.
Yeah.
Many
different permutations and all. But basically, over the last 10 to 20 years, big business has lost hundreds of thousands of jobs, mm-hmm. and they've all been replaced by small business.
The best statistic I have on that, and I quoted it an hour ago, between 92 and 97, 5 years, the U.S. gained 12 million net new jobs. In that period of time, big business lost 500,000 jobs. So what that means is small business created 12.5 million total jobs. for a net of $12 million. That's what we did in that five-year period.
Yeah, it makes sense. For me, it's the only way to go. I have total job security. I own my company. No one's going to fire me regardless. The other article that I was very interested in because I'm in publishing was about Bertelsmann, which is one of the big five publishing conglomerates.
International. What is it, German?
Out of some small town in Germany, yeah, and they're a private company. They own Random House, Bantam, Doubleday, Dell, Knopf, hundreds of record companies, literally, and on, printers, book clubs, on.
Hold on. Hold on to that thought, because I know you've got that's an important point that I know you want to make, and I want you to do that when we come back after these messages. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad to have you with us. Mark Allen is our guest. He's the author of The Millionaire Course. This is his new book. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. You've been hanging around already today. Thank you for that. And we don't care whether you're listening on the radio or the internet, subspace frequency. I know that many of you do that as you communicate with the mothership, but you know, we're glad you're here either way. And I'm glad Mark Allen's here because he's a good friend of ours and a longtime supporter of all the things that we do. He's the author of Visionary Business, which is one of my favorite books. His new book is called The Millionaire Course, A Visionary Plan for Creating the Life of Your Dreams. And folks, the reason I recommend this book to you is because this book is not an autobiography, but it is about Mark's life. And it is the way that it is him telling you how he became such a successful business person. So he's sharing with you for the price of this book something that it took him a long time. What was it you said, Mark, it took you 10 years to do your five-year plan?
Yes, right.
I love it. I never forget you saying that on this show. Your five-year plan took 10 years to do.
Yeah, well, my first 5 years of my business, my five-year plan included starting a business and getting it solidly profitable. And that took 10 years because the first 5 years, I had no financial controls at all. And finally, after 5 years, I met a woman, thank God, who's still with me today, 22 years later, who whipped me in shape and showed me what financial controls are about.
Yeah.
And she showed me, you really just need three things. I see things very simply. You need three things to succeed. You got to have a good product or service or something, ideally something you enjoy doing.
Right.
You've got to have good marketing and sales, and you've got to have financial controls. Those three things, that's all you need.
But, you know, Mark, you glossed over something a little bit. Folks, we're going to come back to the Bertelsmann story. Don't worry about that. But you glossed over something a little too quickly in the first element. You said hopefully something you love doing. You couldn't have made it those 10 years if you weren't doing something that you were so excited about and that you would rather be doing than anything else in the world and that you would do if you had to be buried up to your armpits in mud.
True. And I think that was one strength I was born with. I always knew I needed to do what I loved to do without compromising.
Well, I remember my mother telling me years ago, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's always been something I haven't forgotten.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the Bertelsmann story.
Yeah, it was really interesting watching all the machinations of that huge conglomerate and reflecting on what life is like. I've been to the Bertelsmann building in New York. Mm-hmm. They even made an offer for my company at one point.
Wow.
And
that's hot cotton.
And I went there, and I said, you know, everybody here looks so uptight. I mean, I don't want to get into slander, but I got into this big black building in New York, and no one was smiling. Everyone was rushing around, looking stressed out. I said, I don't want to join this corporate culture.
This isn't fun. These people aren't having fun here.
Yeah, I wanted to go around saying, are we having fun yet?
They wouldn't have appreciated the humor, would they?
No.
They would have considered it sarcasm, wouldn't they?
Yeah, this other top publisher took me to lunch, wanting to buy my company. Again, one of the other five. It was a woman who was the top publisher. And she said, you know, we're having a really stressful year because last year was a great year for us. They had some huge hit. Well, according to their top-down management, and it's all by financial people, if spring 2004 doesn't surpass spring 2003, even if they would have had a monster spring 2003, if they don't do better 2004, they lose their job.
Heads will roll, yeah.
Heads were rolling, like the head of Random House just rolled last year. Bertelsmann just fired her because the same thing happened. She didn't make her numbers.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, and I looked at this woman, and she looked at me. We had this long lunch. When I first met her to go out to lunch, she looked at her watch and said, how long do you have? She came out here to have lunch with me. How long do you have before you have to get back for appointments? And I said, I don't have to get back to the office.
She was amazed at that.
She
thought
and,
you were speaking Greek or something, didn't she?
Yeah, when she found out I don't do Mondays and I don't do mornings and I'm running
except
this
for
company.
Me, except for us, right?
Yeah, right, except for you. I mean, she finally ended up saying, you've got a great thing going here, Mark. I would never sell. And I said, I agree, absolutely. I'm not going to sell and join some corporate rat race.
Well, you know, it's true. But, you know, it surprises me a little bit because aren't the Europeans a little more long-term thinkers than Americans? Isn't this thing about, you know, if we don't do better this year than we did last year, we failed? Isn't that kind of an American thing?
Well, that's what I've heard, and I've heard it's a public corporation thing, and Bertelsmann is a private corporation.
Yeah.
But they sure act. I mean, the Random House was being run by a tremendously wonderful woman from everything I could see, and she lost her job. She didn't reach the numbers.
Do you think that the 21st century is moving away from that attitude slowly but surely, agonizingly slowly but surely? Do you think we're moving away from that?
Well, I do think the big companies have realized they've got to get more entrepreneurial.
Yeah,
they've got to break down into smaller groups because top-down management is inefficient. The FBI proved that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any company that's totally top-down, they're smart if they're shifting into much smaller entrepreneurial groups. And I'm sure that's the trend.
Yeah, and I think the new generations coming along are going to have a big influence on that because they don't have the baggage. You know, mine and your generation,
yeah.
Mark, we were raised by the GI generation and the old dominator model folks, and some of us became dominators, and we've talked about this. But I think the partner model is going to become the coin of the realm for the 21st century. But it's going to be a while before it has been fully minted, though. 10 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Mark Allen after these messages. Relax a little bit. Unless you're driving, close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Nice and peaceful. You know, Mark Allen, folks, is our guest. And Mark, one of the things that you've shared with us over the years, and this is now we're into our sixth year. We just had our fifth anniversary with you back in October. Mark, is this thing that you learned from somebody else. And I think about it all the time. I talk about it on the show from time to time, and that's this little attitude that you got from somebody about how to deal with a difficult situation, how to face the day, maybe just get ready for the day. And that music just, you know, I was already thinking about it, but that music really made me want to talk about it right now. And that's the, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Would you tell us about that? Would you tell us that story?
Yeah, I think I heard four key words that changed my life. I actually, it was in a book, I think it was a book called the oddest titles. I remember the author was named Catherine Ponder, and she's a Unity Church minister. They call it New Thought Christianity, Unity Church. It was something like the something power of prosperity or she has kind of odd titles, but Catherine Ponder. But in there, I heard she wrote about affirmations, and she recommended tagging these words onto your affirmation to say, for instance, which I often do, your goals in the form of an affirmation. My business is now growing in profitability and satisfaction in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way.
That's the suffix, folks, that
those
you want
are the
to add
words.
Onto this thing. Say those words again.
In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. And I realized, looking back over 25 years of my company now, the first 5 years were such chaos, then I got it together. And it's been easy and relaxed and healthy and positive. And looking back, I see that those four words overcame so many of my doubts and fears about creating a successful business. The doubts and fears are saying it won't be easy. It'll be difficult. It certainly won't be relaxed. It'll be stressful. It may not even be healthy. It may not even be positive.
Well, you know, Mark, about the time you told me that, until that time, I'd been on the air for, been doing this for maybe a year, a little bit more. And I don't know, you know, there are a number of other things that happened. But I started thinking about that, and I started kind of assuming that attitude a little bit, along with some other things that I started to understand. And I was so uptight, I was so worried, I was so concerned about the future of this business that I'd started back in '97, and you know this becoming the small business advocate and all the different things that I wanted to do with it. And that those words meant a lot to me in those days. And from about that time on, even though I still had challenges, even though I still had difficulties,
oh, sure.
even though there were times when I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, I still was peaceful about it. I was at peace about it because, you know, I said, you know what, I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm trying to seek excellence, and I'm going to be relaxed about it, and I'm going to make sure that if it works or if it doesn't work, I'm going to have a good attitude about it. And I think those words helped me.
I think that may have been one of the two key things I ever found. That one affirmation in an easy, relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, and of somebody at my depth, my lowest, was just about 5 years into my company. I was $65,000 in credit card debt personally, and this was in the early 80s. My company was on a point of bankruptcy. We'd set up a distribution company that had gone bankrupt and didn't pay us for the books it sold for 6 months. And we were in bad shape. And I heard this phrase on the radio, I think it was. I didn't know who it was. Years later, somebody said, oh, it was Napoleon Hill. But the phrase was, within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that down and put it right by my phone on my desk. Later I added, within every problem is an opportunity. And that turned my company around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that was critical. Because rather than focusing on the problems and getting overwhelmed by them, I started asking myself, what could possibly be a benefit here or an opportunity? And as soon as I asked that question, I started getting answers.
Mark, we got to wrap it up. I'm going to let that be the last word. But before we do, we've mentioned your books, but I want you to give us your website, please.
Thanks, Jim. It's markallen.com, Mark with a C, MARCAllen.com, or millionairecourse.com. Or newworldlibrary.com.
Where you can find all about Mark. Right. Check him out on Google, on Amazon. Whatever Mark has to offer, I promise you folks, it's worth your time and money. Thanks, Mark. Have a
Thank
good one.
Thank you, Jim.
Gotta go. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.